Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to MBR, or as we like to call it around here, Nothing But Rants, the show where I find topics that I'm oddly passionate about, and I pontificate upon them. These are not hot takes, but rather takes that I'm hot about.
Let's shut up and grab some tape.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into the Film Guy Network, brought to you by our friends over at Hard Rock Bet. It's a fine Monday evening here inside the studio. Going to be a rather hectic show, as it is a hectic timeline right about now, entering week one of college football. We got teams that may get thrown out of their own conference. We're going to talk about that tonight. Week one previews. We're also going to play Guess the Lines. Boys, we'll be recapping week zero because I absolutely dumped the clip yesterday during Sunday's reaction show. Glad to have that back. I know you guys were as well. Y'all showed up and showed out yesterday on Sunday's reaction show, recap show. Appreciate you guys for that. We will also talk about games we are most excited for here in week one. I'm excited for all of college football to be back. I know week zero was a good little taste. It was a good little appetizer. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite appetizer?
Ooh, that's a tremendous
question. I like the taquito, like, what do you call them? Like Santa Fe egg rolls.
Those are good.
Yeah, oh, really them things good. Slap.
Longhorn does some like buffalo chicken egg rolls.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking really about. Fire. Same sentiment with that green sauce. Yeah. Oh, those hit. What about you? You strike me as a strictly main course guy.
Yeah, but I'm also like, if we can get some good wings before we get a full meal, I can rock.
Or
with
like
that.
Some fried pickles.
See, I don't like wings as an appetizer. I like give me 10 of them.
Yeah, I'm usually that's my main course.
Maybe 20 if it's
calamari
Saturday
is
afternoon.
A good shout.
Calamari is a great shout in the chat. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button, like and subscribe, and telling a friend, doing all that good stuff, help support us as we climb to the moon here on the channel. Boys, I guess we have to start with the fact that 15 of the 16 SEC League members got together today and were like, hey, if LSU don't get themselves in line, we're going to get them out of this conference. Mm-hmm. Did y'all see that today?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was interesting.
And which immediately my response, which has kind of been my response from the get-go, for a rotational tight end and a 390-pound nose tackle. Have you seen the photos of Harris, Zakai Harris? Buddy,
he hadn't been working out?
No. Has not been working out since he got cut by the Saints. Ain't no way.
Yeah, and I've even seen LSU fans starting to come around to this, or probably they have been on this side, and they're just now voicing out of like, guys, this is not worth it. Like, if this is – it is not worth all of this drama and all of this attention on our program for these players. Like, it's not worth going through all of this for these players.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the equivalent to, like, starting a world war over someone doing like something very minuscule. Like it's kind of crazy the lengths that it seems like things are going to be going to like you said, rotational players. It's not even like a Brendan Sorsby situation where the starting quarterback, even then we didn't think it was worth it. So to do that with rotational defensive line players and a tight end, I don't get it.
Well, we'll find out who wins the lawsuit or what happens to the lawsuit Thursday before they get ready to play Clemson on Saturday night.
They're just making me so mad, to be honest. Like, they're making me mad because – and it's not necessarily tainting week one of college football for me. Don't get me wrong. I'm still focused on all the games that are happening this weekend. But I hate that this has become one of the biggest conversations of the last 2 weeks of college football news, because we go throughout the entire offseason of having nothing but news pieces like this to talk about. The latest TRO, the latest lawsuit, oh, this new rule now where these players are eligible. And the season is supposed to be a distraction from all of that. It's supposed to be the time and year where you don't even think about that. It doesn't even cross your mind. And yet it seems like this is all we can talk about because of it.
I might have gotten no three today. Shout out to On Three. Might have gotten no three today. But did you see this report, apparently, where LSU, some third-party member of LSU, hedged their own incentives for their head coach? Is that real?
It seems legit.
South Carolina, LSU fans claim that South Carolina did the same thing to an extent with Beamer's buyout.
There's an actual article on it on Bro Bible. So I don't know how much.
All right. Well, yeah, I think we got no three on that one. Yeah, the idea that we're hedging buyout or hedging incentives.
I don't know,
buddy,
man,
it's $3 million. Y'all have all the money in the entire state to throw at football, apparently.
No Bible seems pretty legit.
That was
guys.
The equivalent of writing an essay for a class and your first source is Wikipedia. That crap is getting thrown in the trash can immediately.
Oh man.
You are redoing that assignment.
I had a classmate in high school knew what my assignment was for that report,
mm-hmm.
and went and changed Wikipedia for my assignment.
Nice.
Got my ass. Ninth grade biology. Shout out Coach Cobb.
That's crazy.
That's devious. I appreciate
that. But yeah,
that
was devious behavior by that gentleman. Wonder where he's at now. I got a plaque on my wall. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kind of tired of this story.
I am too.
We can kind of put it aside.
Good.
Y'all want to talk some Week Zero?
Please.
I would love to.
Talk.
How do y'all want to go about this? By the way, I have no notes. The homie had baseball today, so.
Well, and you kind of dumped the Week Zero clip already.
And I did dump the Week Zero clip. He was dialed today, bro.
I saw some dirt on the pants.
Little man was balling out today. I was so proud of him. But yeah, let's talk about it. Week Zero, what'd y'all think?
I mean, I loved every minute of it. Like, yep. I said, like, college football being back on my television, that's the first stake. Like, the fact that I was able to sit down and watch college football all day. Some games are better than others, obviously, but just the thought of, or the actually acting upon watching college football all day once again was just incredible.
I saw you tweet about it Saturday, Kirby, that you appreciated the slop that was on the field out there in Ireland. Yeah, I talked about this Sunday. How dare you? How dare you be like, oh, this is unwatchable. Buddy, it's always unwatchable out there in Ireland. What did you expect?
I mean, that was one of the first things I took away from it, which, by the way, I agree with you, J-Will. Wonderful day. From noon to 4, I did not get off my couch one time. Not even use the bathroom.
4 a.m.?
4 p.m.
Oh, okay.
I had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
But no, literally, the first takeaway I had was people don't understand this Ireland game. People who come to the Week Zero matchup, it's like, all right, I got a noon kick in Ireland. I'm expecting to see some high-quality football between two teams that aren't really going to compete for anything of note, and expecting to see something buttoned up and disciplined. No. Give me fumbles. Give me muff punts. Give me 13 penalties. Give me all that. That's what I want to see, and it delivered perfectly. Could there have been more scoring? Sure, that would have been more, you know, entertaining to the masses. I loved it.
We got the old bait and switch, too. Look at these openers, man. Look at this opening script. This
thing's
dialed, and then here comes the poo.
Yeah.
We love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, watching the Week Zero Ireland game and expecting it to be the shootout, one of the, like, just an all-time classic, it's about like going to McDonald's expecting good seafood. Like, you're just not, it's never going to happen, all right? You're going there for the wrong reasons. You got to have the right expectations. When you go to McDonald's, you're getting slop. When you watch the Ireland game in Week Zero, you're getting some slop, and you're going to like it every time.
Exactly.
But Buddy never had a Primo fish filet.
You're dang right I haven't.
That's not
because
fish,
I know.
Bro.
Exactly.
Some people swear by the fish filet.
Some people do.
I've never once dared to eat it.
No.
If I want seafood through a drive-thru, I question my life decisions.
The only person that I don't look at funny when they order the Filet-O-Fish is the 80-year-old man. That's just, he's been rocking with it the last 10 years.
He's the one keeping it on the menu,
yeah,
for sure.
You know,
that thing might be keeping him alive. God knows what's in that thing.
But yeah, I loved the slop that was on the field in Ireland. That's how we've always opened the college football season the last few years.
Exactly. Exactly.
It felt right at home. But another takeaway that I had from Week Zero of just, I mean, honestly, I thought the slate went exactly how we envisioned it. Like, maybe our predictions didn't go the exact way that we thought they would, but we expected the Ireland game to be absolute slop. We expected UNLV Memphis to be a great tight football game down the stretch. We expected Hawaii Stanford to absolutely deliver, and it did. Really, the only football game I would say that didn't go the way we thought it would be the Virginia NC State game, where, again, predictions aside, we at least thought that was going to be a close competitive football game, and Virginia just absolutely handled them.
Yeah, I could see a world where Virginia kind of won that game and maybe, you know, kind of handled it. I did not think it would just be domination up and down the field. And I guess I was also wrong. We were also wrong on the UNC-TCU thing. I think if we were told on, you know, last Thursday, hey, UNC is going to be the better coached football team, they're going to be more disciplined, they're going to execute better, we would have all probably denied that. So those are the two areas I was wrong. One of the takeaways I had is Stanford and Hawaii was the perfect Week Zero matchup. It's two teams that never play otherwise. It's two teams that after this weekend, you're probably not going to be paying much attention to. And they've always delivered on fantastic games, fantastic moments. The guy who thought about taking a knee before the goal line and then running it in on the scoop and score, elite.
It's a bad beat right there.
Yeah,
you know what it is.
Hawaii
it is
minus 4.5.
That's, I don't know if I'm ever going to have a
plus 4.5
chance to score a defensive touchdown again. screw it, I'm carrying the ball in.
Also, that game was a great test for, like, how long are you going to stick with the game? Because I bet you a majority of people watched that till halftime and was like, Stanford actually is going to handle this one. I don't think Hawaii is going to give up much of a fight. Nope. And then you check the scores on your phone, like, hold up. This game's a 3-score game, or it's this? They're down by 3 points. That's, they got a chance to win.
That's my kind of Micah Alejado game.
Yeah.
Oh, you're, why you're did down, they pull him? You're down 3 scores in the fourth. Come on, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, backs against the wall. Run game, be damned. Let's go out here and sling the pill. Risk it all. Let's go. But he started ripping it. I think they pulled him because maybe he got hurt. I don't know.
They pulled him in the last drive.
After, I thought it was awfully disrespectful.
It was very weird. Yeah.
He's your heart and soul.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did not like
I
it.
I couldn't find
Turkey
any.
Turkey Slammer was slamming things inside the house.
I was trying to find some reporting on it of like maybe he did get dinged up or something like that. I don't know. It seemed a little odd that they just pulled him for the last possession of the game.
I did not like it.
I didn't either.
No, the CJ Bailey performance was not ideal.
Oof. Gross. Yeah.
And he didn't have a lot of help, but I don't think he's going to have a lot of help this year.
And that was kind of my initial reaction watching it is now, don't get me wrong, there were some errant throws. There were some questionable decisions. It was just kind of all over the place from CJ Bailey on Saturday. But I was also kind of like, there just isn't a whole lot to work with right now on this roster. And we talked about it going into that game of, you know, he had Hollywood Smothers last year, who was a good back for him, had some other wide receivers, and they just didn't really restock the cupboard heading into this weekend, and it showed.
Yeah, but even, like, we're missing balls we shouldn't be able to make. He's making poor decisions. There's never a world, no matter how bad your help is, where you should not be able to reach 100 passing.
Everything was volleyball spiked at the feet of wide receivers.
Mm-hmm. It was bad.
That was weird to see.
It was really bad. Another takeaway I had is it's going to be a long season in Tallahassee.
You think so?
I had hopes coming in that, like, you know what, they're going to handle this team. And when they got the interception on the first drive in the goal line, I was like, all right, you know what, things are going to be light. And New Mexico State just kept converting third and longs. Mm. And then Florida State was unable to really pull away. Like, the screen game got working for them a little bit. But you should not have beaten that team by anything less than 20 points. And it was a gross game. And
dude, if that trick play gets caught...
Dude, if the trick
they're in deep water.
Imagine if the trick play gets caught and the quarterback doesn't throw a pick in the red zone on the first drive. Like, that's a 1-score game. New Mexico State might lead at some point in that game. So, yeah.
I think the most compelling takeaway I have from the weekend has to do with Virginia. Not because I think that they're actually going to, like, compete for a conference title, although it wouldn't surprise me that the way that they played on Saturday. The most impressive thing that they did in that game was I think they went on a 20-plus play drive.
23 plays, 13 minutes off the clock.
Death mark.
20-plus plays, 13 minutes in a point in time in the game where it's like, let's just go put it away. Like, this is going to be the ball game right here. Like, your ability to do that, and I understand that the hopes and the expectations of NC State kind of teetered off as that game was going, but for a program like Virginia, for us, was a little questionable. Like, hey, we see people hyping them up. We don't necessarily see it. If you can do that in your football games in this conference, you're going to win the majority of your conference games, in my
opinion. Boys, what if I told you coming into the season, your favorite team's offensive line had 31 career starts? How would you feel?
Great.
You feel great?
I think I know where this is going.
You feel pretty good.
Are we saying 31
career starts? As unit? The five of them, they had collectively started 31 games.
Not okay. Great. Not as
not great.
Fine.
But
like,
okay.
We got some guys that might know what they're doing.
How about 31 years? How about 31 years of college football experience? How would you feel if your starting five had that?
31 years?
Yes, sir.
Much better.
You're
much
sitting
better.
Over there trying to do the math.
Yeah.
This is Virginia's offensive line.
Yeah.
Virginia's offensive line's had at right tackle 5 years, at right guard 6 years, at center 7 years, at left guard 6 years, at left tackle 7 years.
Good Lord.
They have a combined 31 years of college football playing experience.
Checks out now.
Yeah, I talked about it on Sunday show. This year's Indiana, Virginia's offensive line. That's who they are.
There you go.
But no, you hit the nail on the head with the death march, man. Like, It's not just that it happened midway through the third and fourth quarter, transitioning over into the fourth quarter. It happened right after NC State scored a touchdown.
Yep.
And they're down, and they get the 2-point conversion. So they're really only down 2 possessions now. And they're like, watch this.
You think you're getting the ball back?
Right down your throat.
It was one of the most impressive drives I've ever seen. And it's always death marches are always impressive because everybody knows what you're doing. Everybody knows you're going to run the ball. And especially at that point in the game, everybody in the building knew that Virginia was just going to run the rock. And NC State couldn't do anything. And they were just running it at will. It was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty gross. And another takeaway I have from this Virginia game.
Was Dave Doran's halftime interview?
Didn't actually watch a halftime. halftime interview.
At halftime, he's, and I'll let you get to your point, but this was staggering to me. At halftime, he told the lady from ESPN, we were, quote, caught off, a little caught off guard by the quarterback run.
Mm. Ooh.
Sarah, Bo Pribio had 95 rushing attempts last year.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
he had more rushing attempts in the 2 years at Penn State than he did passing attempts.
Didn't do much research on that one.
No, we did not.
Very questionative.
No, my takeaway from this Virginia game is, does anyone know the correct pronunciation for Bo Pribula's name?
You just did it.
I heard Pribula.
I saw a video put out on social media
I've
about
it. I've heard Pribula. Like,
they called him pre-Bola at one point.
Yeah, like, what in the world? I've it's never like,
man,
heard so...
Man, was pre-Bola. That's crazy.
I have never heard so many variations of a name than I did that afternoon.
Well, have you ever listened to this show before?
That's my point exactly. No one knows how to pronounce
it. We'll be
his
one
name.
To beat that record.
Buddy, for those of you who are new here, for this show, specifically this guy, to be making fun of pronunciations of last names... Ooh, you must have fell way off the cliff.
Now,
and that's exactly what happened.
You know, I'll give us some credit, though, because we're not given an actual roster before the game, and most of them almost always have enunciations of certain names, at least the ones that are important. I can guarantee you Bro Pabula's name was on there.
I would imagine. I like Bro Pabula.
I do, too. It kind of like rolls that. Better, but I want to be right. Oh, Bro
Pribs?
Yeah, Pribs is easier.
Pribs is way easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pribs. We'll just call him Pribs from now on.
Yeah.
Be Pribs.
I think my final takeaway also from week zero is just Sonny Dykes is just a one-year wonder, one-hit wonder. Mm. It's nice and simple.
Max Duggan drugged that man
he
to a
did.
Contract extension, huh?
He did, and thank goodness he did, because I don't think Sonny Dykes would have a job anymore.
I saw a report a couple weeks ago that Sonny Dykes was in the running for the Texas job at some point.
Huh?
Yeah, I saw this kind of floating around,
the
too.
The Texas Longhorns job?
Yeah, that one.
Not like the...
No, not Texas State, Christian. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for Sonny Dykes, man.
Yeah, we've fallen off a cliff just a tad bit.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Couple more things here about week zero. Did you know that L.A. has concert halls?
I'm so glad.
31 of them.
I'm so glad this is the part where we're transitioning to from the show.
How many excuses did USC fans give us for not showing up?
Dude, I tuned out as soon as they were talking about some humidity and heat. Dude, ask any fan of a football team in the South about the month of September and early October about dealing with some heat for football games and how it never impacts people from going to the game. I have sat in a student section many of times getting there before kickoff, 3 hours early, roasting in the sun in 90-plus degree heat in the state of Georgia with plenty of humidity. And yeah, it sucked, but I wasn't going to miss the game because of some weather.
A friend of the show, tremendous friend of the show. We love him around here. Colin Cowherd tweeted today, the annual, quote, LA is a bad sports city chorus is strange. In a city with 31 music venues, packed beaches, and unlimited outdoor options. If you're seeing a concert at noon local time, probably a pretty crappy concert. Also, can't blame the weather when you're talking about unlimited outdoor options.
Right.
So, like... It's too hot to go sit at a football game, and it's not too hot to go to the beach. It's too hot to go to a local football game, or it's, you know what I'm saying? Like, how many different ways? I ain't even going to mention the craziest one that I sent to y'all today in the
that was reaching.
Chat. That was absolutely insane. We had demographical breakdowns get sent to us by a USC fan. It was like, this is the reason nobody shows up for football. No one's showing up right now because they don't believe in the program. And we can just say that. They don't care about USC football right now until Oregon comes to town. And we can just say that. We don't have to say all these whack-a-mamie excuses as to why y'all had 12 people watching y'all beat San Jose State by 16. We don't have to do this.
Yeah, and it goes back to the point I've kind of alluded to numerous times about this program. The fan base does not really care. The fan base likes showing up and likes cheering and being excited when they're at the top of the mountain and you know, all the celebrities get to show up. But the ins and outs, it's not a loyal fan base. And I think the LA residents or, you know, whoever else commented on this gave a perfect example of this of like, oh, there's too many other things to do in LA. We have such a cool city. It's fine. And I'm not even arguing LA is a bad sports town. That's fine. The Dodgers are good. The Lakers, all that stuff.
Rams.
The USC Trojans do not have a good fan base. there. And that's all it has to be. They do not have a fan base that's over the last 15 years has been loyal enough to show up at certain games. They have very fair weather. They cover the stands, a majority of them in the stadium. It's not a good fan base. And that is what it is.
You know who does have a good fan base?
Who's that?
Those folks in West Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Old buddy is talking, man.
Wow.
Joe McGuire, first of all, if you ever say something along the lines of, you know, I don't mean this disrespectfully because I have a tremendous amount of respect for Lincoln Riley, but I'm so glad that we coach at a place where there's going to be 60,000 people loud and screaming in a hot stadium this weekend. I couldn't imagine playing in front of six people. It reminded me, I told Jonathan before the show, it reminded me of that scene in Talladega Nights where he's like, hey, man, with all due respect, I didn't know you had surgery to have your balls removed. You know, just because you say I have a tremendous amount of respect for Lincoln, and I don't mean this directed at them, but good Lord, that was embarrassing. Did y'all see that? Glad we don't have those problems around here. That dude's team better be the freaking Avengers the way he's talking lately. They better walk through their schedule.
I mean, there's something in Texas to where the head coaches this year just have to come out and say crazy things. We've got Dave Aranda accusing Florida of putting a guy who threw five interceptions in a straitjacket. We've got Steve Sarkisian going off on his multiple tangents. Now we've got Joe McGuire saying, you know, what he said about USC. There's something that these Texas head coaches just feel like they can just talk away.
The thing that I didn't understand about the USC fan attendance is the people that were saying, well, just wait until they're good in the middle of the season. They're ranked right now. This is the best start to a season that they've had in many years, I would say. You just spent a whole bunch of money on the roster, on the recruiting class. Like, now is the time when they are good. I know who the opponent is, but that doesn't impact any other college football fan base at the beginning of a season. No matter who it is, those fans fill up the stadium like, USC is good now. Like, you don't have to wait till the middle of the season to attend football games.
Elko must not be drinking the water. He's the only one that ain't said nothing.
Elko's the only one who's safe right now. My favorite thing on Twitter this weekend was, did you see, apparently San Jose State and USC played like 15 years
ago. In 2009.
2009.
They play almost every year, but yeah.
Like, the example was, it's like noon kick, similar situations, stadium is packed.
They were even down 3-0.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know what it is, but the USC fan base has completely dwindled away and become obsolete.
To be 100% fair to that clip, they were coming off of eight to nine years of being the face of college football.
Yeah.
In 2009.
But I mean,
and they haven't been that in a long time.
And I get that. That's my point, though, is like, it's kind of a fair weather situation. Like, we've seen multiple bad SEC teams do this. Florida State, credit to them, have had two of the worst seasons in program history, and that stadium was packed on Saturday night, and the crowd was loud, and they were chanting, and I didn't see any paper bags. I'm sure they were there, but their fan base is way more deserving than to have the success they have.
Did y'all notice what I noticed about that Florida State game where they couldn't figure out what they could, but they were booing quite often, and the deuce thing, but they were also booing quite often, and then they would boo like a 3rd-and-9 incompletion, and they would just be booing, 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 and then they'd convert the 4th-and-9, and the place would go nuts.
Yeah.
It's the biggest crowd pop you heard all weekend. I talked about it on Sunday. That fan base, they are so right. Like, they're so what is right about college football.
They deserve it.
They do. They deserve to be great again.
The amount of people I know or have friends that are either fans of Florida State or attend there currently that were at that game, it's a week zero game against New Mexico State. Like, there are so many, and there's plenty of fun things to do in Tallahassee as well that don't include going to the game. So
yeah, like a bowling alley.
No, I'm saying is like there's other things you could do outside of going. Like, there's plenty of people I know. I mean, to speak locally. Georgia has this issue where people go, I'm not going to Sanford Stadium. It's too hot. I'm going to go stay at the bars. Mm. Like, you could do that in Tallahassee. There's the opportunities there for that. That place was packed. So shout out to them.
Any other week zero bullet points right quick, boys?
My final one was just Memphis is promising. They seem like a team that is going to be competing for that playoff spot.
Dan Mullen gave us another one.
Yeah, he did.
He's the gift that keeps on giving from a clown show standpoint.
Yeah.
Walking out with a fake Elvis against Memphis.
Well, you can't walk out with the real Elvis, unfortunately.
Yeah, R.I.P. R.I.P. But does he not know? Did he know that Elvis is from Memphis?
But that isn't a Las Vegas thing.
I think that's kind of the point.
Oh.
And also, that's a very Vegas
thing. Like, kind of like he's on our side now. Like, yeah. And Elvis did a huge residency in Vegas. So, like, It's like a weird claim in Elvis.
That guy probably left the game and married somebody after that. Like, probably. That's the vaguest thing.
No, my biggest problem with that game was the fact that we were very close to getting a Jackson Arnold redemption story. And the utter trash and disappointment that was UNLV's offensive line robbed that from us.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point in this game where I was like, man, it's actually nice to see Jackson Arnold having some success because of what he's able to do and everything like that. And then it literally turned into the Stewie Griffin meme where he gets the ball and immediately goes, eh, nobody's blocking. Like, that's what the entire fourth quarter was.
It is rather respectful to watch Jackson Arnold just hold the ball for 6 seconds just to get absolutely smoked while throwing a comeback. I respect the guy's, you know, gall. I respect his toughness.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, he deserves it.
We're watching in the Discord lounge, and Jackson Arnold's back there in a pocket that's, you know, one of the five clean ones he had all day. And he's just like, I don't feel comfortable in this clean pocket. Starts to roll right, throws a comeback, and that sap kid just absolutely smokes him. And the announcers are like, what a tremendous throw under pressure. And I love Devin Gardner, but I'm like, he kind of created the pressure on his own.
The pressure's on him.
That dude is notorious for just being like, I'm trying to get smoked today, boys.
Mm-hmm.
Also love Charles Huff after the game. Everything that he said.
Yeah.
All of it. Everything that he said. But just the dichotomy of those two football coaches, one walking out with Clemson and one that's like, football is zero fun, sir.
Yeah.
Football is zero fun. We are here to work and we are here to win. And that is it. And the other guy goes to his post game press conference and blames the 15,000 fans that were there for doing the wave while they were on offense. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dan Mullen experience. We love that. Indeed. That's how you know he's on his way out, by the way. He did this at Florida, too. Remember the COVID year where he was like, yeah, we need to call the CDC. They had way too many fans here in attendance at the Texas A&M game. Yeah, when we start getting those types of lame duck excuses from Dan Mullen in front of a microphone.
Sore loser Dan.
Yeah, I think it's just he's a sore loser.
Oh, no, he is, for sure. It's time to call the quits. That's what it is.
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, hey, Memphis squad's good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Memphis is a really good team.
You know what else is good?
What?
Our friends over at Hard Rock Bet. Play that thing, Jonathan. Ladies and gentlemen, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Hard Rock Bet Sportsbook. Whether it's rivalries, trash talk, bragging rights, it's all a part of this game of college football that we all love so much. But there's one thing college football fans can all agree on. Hard Rock Bet is easy, safe, and trusted with thousands of five-star reviews. You can back your favorite football team all season long, whether it be from the couch, hanging out at the tailgate, or even inside the stadium, especially for our friends down there in the state of Florida. Hard Rock Bet knows college football in Florida. They're Florida's only legal app to bet on college football, but you don't have to be in the state of Florida to join the party that Hard Rock Bet's got going on. They're also live in Arizona, Ohio, New Jersey, Indiana, Tennessee, Virginia, Illinois, Colorado, and Michigan, with more states on the way. And right now, listen up, right now, all customers, new and existing, can place a $5 bet to get $100 in bonus bets. That's right, $5 gets you $100 in bonus bets. So if you don't have the Hard Rock Bet app today, what are you doing? Head over to hardrock.bet/filmguy. That's hardrock.bet/filmguy. Get the party started on Hard Rock Bet today. Must be 21 or older. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today. Please gamble responsibly. All righty, folks. We've got a lot of people in the chat right now. Not enough like buttons. I need you to hit that thumbs up button. Support the show right quick. Maybe we get put in front of some brand new people. If you are new to the network, every Monday we play a little segment we like to call Guess the Lines. I wonder what we do during this segment. We finna guess the lines. Jonathan, hey. No looking at your screens.
I'm not.
Drop it off. We got these professional lower thirds nowadays. Mm-hmm. I don't want you cheating.
Oh, yeah. Okay? Don't worry. I can't see that.
Oh, okay. All right, Jonathan, what is our first game we are guessing the line of today? All lines courtesy of our friends at Hard Rock Bet, hardrock.bet/filmguy. Get in on the action today. What do we got?
All right. The first line we have for week one of college football, Boise State at Oregon.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Who's going first?
I'll go first this time.
All right. Looks like it's you.
It's obviously Oregon. It's going to be double digits. How many double digits, I don't know. Boise State's a respectable G5 opponent. It's a playoff team. I know that those years are a bit far removed. Gentry hasn't played in 2 years. Let's just throw a number out and say Oregon minus 25 and a half.
I'm going Oregon minus 30.
Kirby, you almost had it right on the nose. It is Oregon minus 24 and a half. Ooh. Kirby takes the first one.
Do we see Dylan Raiola in this football game?
Ooh.
I would think so.
Probably.
Did he end up being the number two quarterback?
I don't know.
I think it's
they
kind
gave
of
him to the media once. They won't be doing that again.
Crazy.
But yeah, I guess.
Okay. Then probably.
Okay.
I would say
Kirby
probably.
Kirby wins that one.
All right. The next line
Oregon
we have.
Covers that, by the way.
Next line we have.
So.
I think so, too. The next line we have.
Clemson at LSU.
Ooh, I'll be in attendance for this football
game. You will.
Shout out.
Yeah. Give me LSU minus 3.5.
Wow.
That feels light.
Okay. Yeah, that feels
really
that
light
feels
now that
really
I said
light.
It. Can I change that? 5.5?
Yeah, well, because, yeah, change. I don't think you believe that. Change that.
I'm
yeah,
gonna go.
Give me that 5.5.
Give me LSU minus 10.5.
Oh, wow. On the nose. 10.5 LSU.
Ooh.
I only,
oh,
now,
Dabo Swinney's going to love that.
Now, I will say this. We knew this line like months ago.
Yeah.
And it was like 9.
So oh, yeah, that's right.
We did this when they were first released, which was months ago.
Well, it's moved in favor
shows
of
shows you how my memory loss is occurring already.
Turns out
31.
Former professional players are good for 1 point on the spread.
Mm-hmm, yeah, shout out.
The next one we have, Washington State at Washington. Good old in-state
now
rivalry.
This, now, this one I'm going to have to throw a hefty guess
one's
out.
Still in the Pac-12. I guess yeah. I guess that's the Pac-12
it's
now.
It's the Pac-12, but it's like 7 or 8.
It's really like the Mountain West 12.
Yeah,
pretty much.
To be
they
honest.
Just rebranded it.
Do we call that the WAC-12?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Give me – oh, you're up first.
I'm up first. Washington's going to be favored in this game. I'll go Washington. It's a rivalry. It's week one. I'll go 8.5.
I'm going to go 10. Washington plus or minus 10.
You guys are both way off, but Brooks wins it. Washington State at Washington is minus 22.5 in favor
oh
of Washington.
Oh, my God.
Damn, Washington State might not be very good this year.
Well, they did have to – they hire a new coach again for the third year in a row or something like that?
Oh, I don't know.
Shows how much Wazoo football we know.
Sorry,
about
Wazoo
about
fans. We're a little bit in the dark.
We got any Huskies in the chat.
Kirby Moore was named the head coach in December of 2025.
Yep.
He was previously the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach at Missouri.
Okay.
So there you go. You're new. All right. So Brooks wins that one to keep it alive.
It's 2-1 now.
It is 2-1.
Mm.
Wisconsin at Notre Dame.
Whoo. You're up. I'm up first. You're
I'm
up first.
You're up first.
All right. Shout out Shane Gillis. I think he'll be on the show this week. I keep mentioning it. That way he feels extra bad if he stiffs us on
Wednesday.
Yeah,
there you go.
Is he watching the show right now?
Probably not.
You think?
I don't know. We just said Notre Dame. Maybe it pings his algorithm.
No, he's probably busy watching a Ken Burns documentary of some sorts. Give me Notre Dame minus 13.5.
I like 13.5. I think it'll be a little higher than that. I'm going to go 17.5. Wisconsin's not a good football team.
Yeah, Kirby wins it here. It is Notre Dame minus 20.5.
Wow.
Yeah. Luke Fickell.
Luke Fickell still has a job, by the way.
Time to fire up the LinkedIn, brother.
Hey, but they're going to be in some cool unis, I guess.
Yeah,
good for
them. It's the Under Armour brand showdown.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
That's right. That's forgot.
Click, clack, click, clack.
Oh, yeah. I
know
the commercial.
You guys are a little
commercial. I know the commercial.
You're supposed to say boom.
Yeah.
Let's try that again. Click, clack, click, clack.
No, boom.
Attaboy.
Wow, too cool. Cool,
oh, buddy,
too cool.
When them Under Armour cleats first dropped and they dropped that commercial, I had a pair. I ain't going to lie to you. I had a pair of them things. Them things was right. Old screw-in cleats, too.
Yeah, I remember
seeing with the
those.
Metal tips on them. You had to get the metal tips when you had screw-ins. Or get the extra plastic ones that are like 3/4 inch. Whew. Yes, sir. We're talking old school ball now.
I never had those. I was always like a, hey, what's on the clearance rack type deal. Until I started.
Real out the mud kind of story, huh?
I wouldn't say that. I just don't think we were like splurging on football cleats every year.
I was definitely
you were
always
a Land Sharks guy.
I had plenty of Land Sharks.
What?
Yeah.
Papa Kirby, if you're in the chat right now, how dare you let your son walk out onto the field with some Land Sharks?
Don't worry. When I got to like middle school and high school, I was like, something's got to change.
Started putting some drip on?
Yeah.
I was always team shoe catalog guy. Like whatever the team catalog was. Those
shout
were
out East Bay.
I was always Hyper Dunks.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That's always what I have. But yeah, you have to win the last two, Brooks, in order to tie it up, and then I'll go find a
easy
tiebreaker.
Money.
Okay. These are teams you're more familiar with.
Easy money. Let's do it.
Louisville at Ole Miss, or it's not at Ole Miss.
This is Atlanta, right?
Yeah, it's in Atlanta. So, sorry, neutral site, Louisville versus Ole Miss.
I'm contemplating calling my friends over at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium to see if I can slide to that one, too. But I think I might need some sleep.
Yeah, probably. At some point. Is that one Sunday?
Yeah, it's Sunday night. So, yeah, I'll probably be grinding tape, too.
That, too.
Yeah. Give me Ole Miss minus 2.5. I don't think it's a lot. I think it's going to be a damn near pick 'em game.
No. Ole Miss will be favored by a touchdown. I've got Ole Miss 7.5.
It is Ole Miss 7.5. You're off your game today. 2.5 points.
Yes, on me.
2.5.
That's on me.
Come on, Brooks. They've got the Heisman campaign in Las Vegas right now at the Sphere.
It does look kind of cool.
The Sphere?
Well, no, the helmet on the Sphere.
Oh, yeah.
The Sphere is cool. You know? The Sphere is cool. If you ever go to Las Vegas.
We're all
going to
be in Las Vegas in January.
Oh, for the Natty?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be fun.
The final one, SMU minus 3.5 at Florida State.
Sometimes I do wish Vegas was a trip I made when I was a chronic alcoholic. Mm. I feel like that's a place where if you're a sober guy, you just get to lose your money. But if you're not, you get to have fun and lose your money.
No, there's so much to do in Vegas. If you go watch a show. There's plenty of shows to watch.
Go have Usher dip a cherry in your mouth or something.
I think you're sleeping on Vegas.
Okay.
As someone who's been to Vegas, I've never been. There's plenty of stuff.
Okay. What's our next game?
I'm glad neither one of you are listening because I actually read the spread.
SMU versus Florida State.
It's SMU at Florida State.
Keep going.
But I accidentally read the spread while I said it. Neither one of you were listening, so that was good.
2.5.
It's 9.
No, Kirby. It is SMU minus 3.5.
Ooh.
So, but Kirby still wins. He took it 4-2 at the end.
What's up with that? Why do they think SMU's not very good? Because the whole world thinks Florida State stinks.
That's a good question. I don't know. Here's
a prediction for you. All lines subject to change, as you can see on the lower third. That line will move before Monday.
Mm. Oh, I'm sure it'll move.
Can guarantee it in favor of SMU. We good?
We are good.
Shout out to our friends over at Hard Rock Bet. I think I got to get going. I got to be in Nashville ready to go by 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'm going to let you guys take the rest of the show. Sorry, chat. I got to get going. I got to get on the road. I don't want to be checking into a hotel in Nashville at 2 a.m.
Busy guy over here.
It is a busy week. I mean, it's an insane week this week.
Yeah, dude. College football is back.
Yeah, we're going to have fun. Y'all have fun doing the show.
We will.
Thank you. I'm out of here. Love you,
chat. Adios. Be safe.
Big dubs in the chat for the boys. We'll see y'all.
Adios. Ooh,
can't forget the Zins.
We will turn everything off. Don't worry. Turn it off now.
Should I go sit in his chair?
Yeah, go sit in his chair. Okay. Oh, wait, that means I got to run the...
I'll come back over here and do everything.
Okay.
But fill airtime while I do this.
All right. Jonathan Williams is getting up and walking over to Brooks's chair right now. While he's doing that, I'm going to zoom in on my face so that...
Good idea.
All right, Jay. Well, I think we left off there with... basically, all of the slate or all of our show notes done with the exception of best and worst performances of the week. Now, we kind of touched on this a little bit in the reactions part pieces of this, but I want to just highlight some performances that I think were exceptionally good and maybe, you know, reprimand some performances that were exceptionally bad simply because they deserve it. If you put bad football out there, it deserves to be talked about. Do you have any performances this week that you would like to highlight and say, hey, you know what? This guy did a great job.
You know, for what my expectations were for Davis Warren, I thought he played exceptional against Hawaii. Threw for 310 yards and one touchdown. As Brooks pointed out, either before the show or during the show, he's like, that's the nation's leading passing yard holder right now is Davis Warren. You know, considering how he looked at Michigan, watched him play against Ohio State, very middling quarterback it looked like at the time. It was like, oof, if that's the future quarterback for Michigan, that's not going to be good. Then he ends up at Stanford, a program who's kind of, I don't want to say down in the dumps, but, you know, on the lower end of expectations when it comes to FBS football. And I know who the opponent was. I know it was Hawaii, but I thought he played really well for Stanford. So I was impressed. I thought he was one of the best performances of the week.
Yeah, I think that we came into the game talking about how the UNC game was going to be some slop. It's going to be something disgusting. It's going to be something unwatchable. There's not going to be anything exciting going on. Jelani Thurman turned in a magnificent performance. Now, he only had 4 receptions, but he was basically every major explosive play for UNC. Shout out to Billy as well for a rather excellent quarterback performance from that. Mm-hmm. I thought he played really well. But Jelani Thurman, 4 receptions for 93 yards, definitely gets a shout-out for his performance this week.
Yeah, another one adding on to that. I thought Ousmane Cromah for Florida State, if I had to pick a glowing player from that football game, I would go with him. You know, I've been kind of trying to find the word for that. I've been really high on Deuce Robinson heading into the season, considering what he did last year for the Seminoles. Wasn't the best game for him, but Ousmane Cromah, another guy that I highlighted for Florida State coming into this year. He had 14 carries, 115 yards, and a touchdown. That was the offensive guy for Florida State. And if you have a good run game, I think it'll take you pretty far. I don't know how far it'll take Florida State this year because it didn't look very promising on Saturday. But it's good to see that after a true freshman season in which he had some ups and downs, a roller coaster ride a little bit his first year with Florida State, I feel like he's looking at a more consistent year this year.
Yeah, definitely. We came into that game thinking that he was going to be one of the major impact players, and he certainly was. He's going to have a fantastic season for Florida State's sake. Look, their offensive performance I would classify as fine. I get that Lincoln Riley came out and really tried to establish we're running the football today. We're going to just pound the rock. We're a physical football team. I was still really impressed with Trent Moseley's performance. 7 receptions for 118 yards and a touchdown. Showed some real promise there. I know everyone kind of had their eyes on Mark Bowman, and he had a great game as well, but Trent Moseley really is the one who impressed me.
I'm glad you brought this up. Now, the freshman that USC recruited this past offseason was something that we were, all three of us, said that we were kind of paying attention to in this first matchup. And Moseley certainly had a phenomenal game for them. What did you think about the clip that went viral of Mark Bowman and the sentiments that were put behind it of, this kind of looks like one of them ones. Not going to say who, but he kind of looks like that guy. Mind you, if you didn't see the clip, let me give some context. There was a clip of Mark Bowman, who, by the way, is a great football player. We've talked about him on the show a lot, said that when USC got him, like, this is a guy that could end up being one of those generational tight end talents, really good football player. I have no doubt that he is going to be a good football player for USC this year, and I'm sure he will put up good numbers. But for me, it was the fact that the clip that was posted of him was like an arc release out into the flats. He catches a ball and kind of runs a guy over for 4 yards. And then attached to that was, this guy kind of looks like Brock Bowers.
Look, I get it. We've given this comparison and this take before of like, whenever you see something and you want to immediately compare it to whatever the next grade is, like Brock Bowers got Travis Kelce comps before he became Brock Bowers. I think they're wrong, but I'm fine with people like hyping up Mark Bowman. Like when we watched his high school tape, we're like, wow, you know,
it's really good.
It kind of looks like him. So I get it. I'm fine with it. I disagree with it. I think that, you know, making comps of otherworldly and fantastic athletes is wrong, but sometimes it's warranted. So we'll see. Maybe Mark Bowman really is the next coming of Brock.
It wasn't
Bowman.
Even necessarily the comp that made me frustrated. It was the video. And then for it to go viral the way it did, I don't know if it went viral because people thought it was one of the craziest takes they had ever seen or because it was just a freshman playing for USC. I don't know what it was, but to choose that clip to then say this guy might be the next Brock Bowers, I just thought it was absolutely crazy to say that. Like, how about we wait for him to rip off a 75-yard touchdown on a wheel route or something like what Bowers did in the second game of his career, or have, what was it, 10 receptions in his first ever college football game? Something like that.
Need a little bit more of a welcome to college football moment, like this guy's having a coming out party, than like, oh, this 4-yard reception resembles what Brock Bowers.
We're talking about a generational talent right here. We might want to be more selective with what we're choosing to provide that comparison to. My final best performance of the week, and I know that this player ended up losing his football game, but still, I thought that he had a tremendous game, was Jackson Arnold, 291 passing yards.
Thank you.
I thought he looked like the best version of himself throughout his entire career. Now, I do want to kind of backtrack and say, Jackson Arnold at Oklahoma had 0 offensive line, much like he did at UNLV on Saturday. And then also on top of that, the weapons were very bare, if you will, at Oklahoma as well. Go down to Auburn with Hugh Freeze, and Hugh Freeze has us doing some crazy stuff offensively. We talk about the back two RPOs all the time on this channel. The play calling there was very iffy, if you will.
It was bad. It was terrible.
Yeah, okay. You said it, not me, but we've said it before. All of us have. for and then goes to UNLV with a guy like Dan Mullen, and I know we just got done kind of crapping on Dan Mullen, and Brooks thinks he might be on the way out, but he's in a legitimate offense now, and he's asked to do things that make sense, and he looked like the best version of himself.
Yeah, and I hit on this, but it transitions well into my worst performances of the week. UNLV, you completely wasted a Jackson Arnold to this date's best performance. You completely wasted that because you could not protect him.
Yeah.
And that was unfortunate. I mean, the last drive where it's 27-21 and UNLV's got the ball, and I'm like, all right, you know what? Maybe we'll get some fireworks. Nope. Two sacks back to back, and then you can't get the, like, it was just a disgusting performance. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah. Like going into that moment, the final closing minutes of that football game, the way that that game had built up, it seemed like it was only inevitable that UNLV was going to answer.
Something crazy had to happen.
Something crazy.
There was an insane turnover, a massive play. No, just two sacks.
And I do not regret one bit for staying up to watch that football game in its entirety. But it was a bit of a letdown with how it ended in the fashion that it did for UNLV's offense. Because, woof, critical moments. And that offensive line did not show up for their quarterback. For one reason and one reason only, I have worst performances of the week. Number one, Hawaii's coaching staff. I don't know why we pulled Micah Alejado.
I'm glad you talked to
him. I have no idea. Like, I tried to do some research. I tried to see if the coach gave a quote of, well, he kind of banged up his wrist a little bit. We just didn't want to risk it. Or, like, he just wasn't feeling it. Like, whatever. In my opinion, that means that we just selectively took him out of the football game. And, look, I know. The game was put away after that play once they took it for a touchdown. I understand that completely. But I feel like that does a detriment to your quarterback to who just led this miraculous comeback to put you back in the football game, and he has a fumble, and then the response is, hey, you're going to sit on the bench now. We're going to throw the backup out there for the final possession of the game. I didn't like it. I didn't love it.
Especially when less than or 365 days ago, that same exact quarterback won you a football game on one leg, was literally hobbling up and down the field and led your team to a victory against that same exact team. So you're absolutely right. And yeah, the game was pretty much over. You're not going to score 10 points in 50 seconds, barring an absolute miracle. So I get it. I understand that, you know, hey, maybe we don't try for that. The idea of not letting him go out on his sword was kind of,
yeah,
I didn't appreciate it.
Let him finish the game.
Now, maybe we could be wrong and there was an injury we missed or someone's given a quote.
Right.
Where, yeah, he's gotten banged up and we wanted to keep him out, keep him safe for the rest of the season. Fine, so be it. The optics of it, I did not like one bit.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any more worst performances?
Yeah, we want to talk about coaching staffs. And this one falls more on Sonny Dykes, and we've kind of hinted at it. You got out-coached and out-executed by a... Now, I get it. It's Bill Belichick, but I don't think anyone came into Saturday expecting, you know what, UNC is going to have more discipline. They're going to be less penalized. They're going to have
penalties.
Less turnovers.
Yeesh.
I mean, to lose the game in the fashion that you did on a 4th-and-1 and you jump off sides, when, by the way, you've had holding calls all day, you've had false starts, you've had multiple offsides penalties, it was an embarrassing showcase for TCU football. And it typically is for whatever team loses that football game. But the fact that Sonny Dykes got kind of circles coached around him by, yes, he's one of the greatest minds of all time, he's won multiple Super Bowls, but I think it's fair to say the quality of coaching that Bill Belichick has given since he's gotten to UNC has not been on par with his time in the Patriots. So kind of gross. And maybe UNC ends up being a really good football team this year. Maybe UNC ends up actually being a really buttoned, disciplined football team, but
don't scapegoat them. Don't do this. You don't have to hedge your bet right now. Like,
bad,
it was bad.
Bad. Bad, I mean, Sonny Dykes.
The fact of, and look, I know that the circumstances around this football game, like, it made it kind of inevitable that it turned out the way it did, considering what the weather was and how these games are always played. But, I mean, from the moment you scored the touchdown, TCU that is, I mean, it was like a switch was flipped for them, and it was just like, now we're going to play really bad football for the rest of the game, and we're not going to be able to do anything about it. And the bad thing is, and the most disheartening thing about it, if you are a TCU fan, is stuff like that, like, committing, I think it was 8 penalties in a game, just being undisciplined, jumping off sides, or like you said, on critical situations, that doesn't necessarily just go away. That isn't something that is just solved throughout the season. Like, usually if you're an undisciplined football team, that's just kind of who you are.
Yeah, teams can have bad offensive outings. Teams can have, you know, bad days on defense. You can have even a day where you have a bunch of turnovers. But typically, if you're a really penalized team, that shows up through and through throughout the season. So it might be a long year for TCU.
The final worst performance of the week that I had, and I understand what I'm about to say, and if there are USC fans in the chat, then allow me to explain myself a little bit. But I have USC's fourth quarter defense. I think it was 28 or 21 points given up in the fourth quarter alone. I know that the game was out of hand. I know that we're playing a bunch of scrubs. I don't even want to call them scrubs. I know that we're playing the third string or the fourth string, or we're playing non-starters at that point in the football game. But not a great way to close out the game, in my opinion. I just thought that, you know, the score would have looked a lot prettier had you not given up those points that late in the football game. So I know I'm just kind of picking at nits right now, but, or nitpicking, if you will, but I just felt like, you know, could have been better.
Well, yeah, and from an optics standpoint, like you said, it was a terrible day for optics from USC, and whether or not there's substance to that, maybe next time the Coliseum's jam-packed with students, maybe next time USC does score, you know, 60, 70 points like we've seen them do before. I understand that Lincoln Riley wanted to run the football. I understand that the game was well out of hand when they put the starters out. I understand all that. USC handled the football game. From an optics standpoint, it was not a good day. The crowd was empty. The point spread was not nearly what it was. You were 38.5 point favorites in that game, and everyone said, you know, these are the games Lincoln Riley rolls. Not a great day for optics for USC. Now, there's a long season. There's plenty of meaningful games that will be played, so we could be wrong about that, but bad day for optics.
Yeah, completely agree. I can't believe that the school or the program put out a statement about the attendance. Like, that's bad. That's bad. Like, trying to cover that up, trying to make sense of that. Ooh, that's crazy. It's one thing for Colin Coward to come out there and go to bat for you, but having to put out an actual statement about the lack of attendance at your football games, ooh, buddy, that's not good. You got any more?
No, but week one is here.
I know. I was about to do the same thing. I was about to hit you with the, we could talk week one football. Not that we don't love week zero around here. We do. We love week zero football. I look forward to it every single year. But when you hear week one college football, it hits a little different. It does. I'm not going to lie.
When you can open up the ESPN app and see 30 different games instead of, all right, this is what we'll be watching at 3:30, have multiple choices, it's the best, dude. It's here. We made it. The offseason is completely, officially, finally over. We have week one games to preview. Now, there's not a ton of huge marquee matchups this week to dive into, but I did kind of want to get your take on what are some games you're interested in or excited to see or curious about.
Yeah, I'll just hit the heavy hitter off the bat. I mean, it is LSU Clemson.
Yep,
I mean, that is the, for at least Saturday, like that is the premier matchup of the entire weekend. That's when everybody's going to be locked into at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. Just kind of getting a feel for what this LSU team is going to look like under Lane Kiffin. And I mean, also, like, let's be frank. There's been a lot of distractions around that program Tons. As of late, at least over the past couple of weeks. Not saying that that's going to lead to them losing to Clemson, but just kind of interested to see, like, what the vibe is heading into Saturday. I know that the fans are going to be juiced. I know that LSU fans are going to pack Death Valley to the brim and be loud as they always are, but interested to see that. And then also just kind of seeing what feels like a new Clemson for Dabo Swinney. Like, I don't want to say we're entering a new era of Dabo Swinney at Clemson because, you know, the last few years have tracked ultimately to this moment where mm-hmm. it seemed like every passing year we were taking a step down. Dabo Swinney we are, and the Clemson program just kind of dwindling down. But there's a whole lot of new faces. We got a new starting quarterback. We got some returning wide receivers, but defensively, we lost quite a bit of production. Some really good football players to the league, some to the transfer portal. Just kind of seeing how are we going to hold up against what many people to believe one of the best teams in the country.
Tell me if you agree with this. We are going to learn so much more about Clemson this week than we will LSU.
Yeah, I would agree with that, honestly. I think
if LSU comes out and wins that game by 5 points, I think it's more going to be, okay, LSU has a lot more problems and they have way more holes than we think. Because from a talent standpoint, we all think that LSU should absolutely handle this game. And if they don't, I think that's more of an indictment on LSU than it is Clemson or a pride on Clemson. I think we're going to learn a lot about what Clemson's 2026 season is going to look like. I think we're going to learn about what the future of Dabo Swinney in this program looks like based on Saturday. Because it's been not great.
And it's so weird because, and I know that we're probably going to do our predictions tomorrow night like we always do, but I could see this game being where LSU wins by 20 points. I could see this game being where LSU wins by a touchdown.
Uh-huh.
There's maybe a distant world where I can see Clemson pulling out an upset in week one, although that's not very likely. Like, I don't know how this game is going to go. I know for a fact that I'm going to pick LSU to win.
Certainly.
I just don't know the variation of the win that I'm going to pick just yet.
Here's a game that's interesting to me because I feel like it's going to be a major litmus test for what their 2026 season is going to look like, because it's two opponents that are kind of formidable. Georgia Tech and Colorado.
Mm.
Very interesting matchup for me. Colorado obviously is kind of, we think, on the back end of the Deion Sanders era. Not really sure what that program's going to look like. They were a laughingstock all throughout the offseason because of what the team looked like and, you know, other things going on around that program that were going viral. So what does 2026 look like for Colorado is going to be found out when they play Georgia Tech. And for that matter, what does 2026 look like for Georgia Tech? Mm-hmm. They lost a ton of people. You lost Buster Faulkner, your OC. You lost Haynes King, your quarterback. You've lost a lot of talented pieces on both sides of the football. Had a really, really great season that kind of tapered off towards the end in 2025. But can you recreate some of that success with all the pieces lost? What does Georgia Tech look like? It's going to be a really interesting game to see. Not necessarily for, who's competing in their conferences or who's going to be a team this year, but what does the future season for this team look like, I think?
I did see where Deion Sanders basically gave the quote of, thank God they don't have Haynes King anymore. And a lot of teams are going to be saying that who are on Georgia Tech's schedule this year, because dude was a problem. And that dude carried them to multiple wins over the last couple of years.
Certainly.
Last year's game was 27-20. Now, the big question is, like, I think that Georgia Tech is going to take a step back this year.
Yep.
I don't think that's crazy to say. Is it possible for Colorado to take another step back that they did last year?
I think so. And if you remember about that football game last year, Georgia Tech had like three straight drives where there was a turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what kept Colorado in that game for so long, and then ultimately Georgia Tech pulled away. But I think the turnover, like, I think Georgia Tech should handle this game.
Yeah.
There is a world where Colorado gets a little bit better. Maybe Julian Lewis really starts seeing the field better. Like, he's kind of coming to his own, supposedly. Maybe they're just getting outmatched and overpowered. I think from what we've seen, the strength and conditioning staff there might need a revamping. So, I'm not trying to make any jokes here, but it was. We went all offseason like, who is the strength and conditioning staff here? And then it got revealed and we were like, all right, well, moving on. So, look, I don't think Colorado is going to be very good this year.
I don't either. I think that Georgia Tech is going to be, like I said, I think they're going to take a step back from what they were last year. Just so many changes from the staff, from the roster. I think they're just going to be a little bit worse than they were. I still think they're going to beat Colorado, though. I do want to talk about the Ole Miss-Louisville game. I think this is another one of the more intriguing matchups. This is the Monday night game. I'm glad that this one is kind of isolated. Or Sunday night game, excuse me. I'm glad that this one is kind of isolated, because if we had put this one up there with LSU-Clemson, that would have sucked. So now we get to watch these two separately. Really just more curious about this game, like we've mentioned all offseason, of getting now I know that we got a look at Ole Miss with Pete Golding as a head coach during the playoffs last year, but this is really going to be the first true look, in my opinion, at Pete Golding's Ole Miss, because last year they still had some overhang from the previous staffers.
Well, yeah, and
like,
they
know, Charlie Weiss Jr. was still calling plays. Other staff members were going back and forth between LSU and Ole Miss to coach during the playoffs and try and win Ole Miss a national championship. This is truly now Pete Golding's Ole Miss football team. So I'm intrigued to see what it looks like offensively, see if they're actually going to take a step forward on defense like I think they will. Just a lot to figure out with them in this football game.
Yeah, to your point, it's a first offseason with Pete Golding. It's the first implementation of, the Pete Golding standard. And, yeah, they've added some players on the transfer portal. On the opposite side of that, I'm interested to see what Louisville looks like with Lincoln Kindholz. I'm interested to see what this program looks like after kind of having a down year last year. They weren't bad last year, but we're very used to Louisville being like, hey, maybe inside the top 10, maybe inside the top 15. I think the loss to Clemson was really bad last year on the same fact. They beat Miami. It was a very up and down year for Louisville. What kind of version of them do we see this year?
Yeah, and for those of you who aren't familiar, Lincoln Kindholz was the quarterback who lost the quarterback battle at Ohio State to Julian Sain, now at Louisville. And since he's not here, I'll do it for him. They got the QB whisperer. They got Jeff Brohm.
I think Dan Mullen's a QB whisperer, but Brooks would not allow me to.
You know, to be fair, nobody anointed Jeff Brohm the QB whisperer other than the person who wrote that ESPN article. I don't know where that came from, and that's why we joke about it of, had no clue that Jeff Brohm was the known QB whisperer in college football.
I mean, like, we'll get sidetracked really quickly before we go to local hour. Cam Newton, Dak Prescott, Tim Tebow. And I know he didn't coach Cam Newton officially, but he had him on the roster. I mean, he made plenty of, I think Dan Mullen deserves QB whisker. Like, he made Kyle Trask a Heisman candidate. Like, enough said. So, all right. That is our time for the National Hour. We're very excited to preview those week one games. We'll have some more on the lines and who we're betting on and which teams we're picking tomorrow. But in the meantime, we'll be heading over to the local hour. So click that button, J. Will.